It's the Full Force Movie News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoe'sReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, joining me to discuss the recent news that Lorenzo de Bonaventura has officially revealed that a new G.I. Joe movie is in the works is the General himself, Justin Generals Joe's Bell. So, on the last movie news burst, it was revealed by producer Lorenzo de Bonaventura that a new G.I. Joe movie is in the works, and they will most likely be utilising the failed Lady J TV series pilot as a basis for the script. First off, Justin, we have finally heard what happened regarding that canned Amazon streaming TV series. So what do you think about them bringing it back from the dead as a film instead?
I'm up for anything they can think of to sort of bring G.I. Joe to life. I think it's interesting to kind of hear it from De Bonaventura's mouth, because I think we kind of, when it was announced, didn't we have sort of a similar reaction? Well, what about Paramount Plus, and what about all this other, you know, Hasbro's got connections to Paramount already. Why are they doing it in Prime? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So it's interesting to see that, like, De Bonaventura kind of, you know, backed that up a little bit, saying that there are already, you know, streaming deals in place, and that it didn't make a whole lot of sense to go the Amazon route. I feel like we didn't know a lot about the Lady J series. It seemed like it was kind of there wasn't a whole lot of information given, so it's tough to say whether or not that's a good basis for the movie. Frankly, I think G.I. Joe is the sort of property that probably leans better towards streaming to begin with.
Definitely.
So I'd almost rather they stuck with that plan rather than, you know, really focus on this big budget cinematic thing, which, you know, they've tried three times and arguably have sort of failed three times, or even worse. I mean, well, I don't know if it's even worse, but if they had failed so badly that Hasbro kind of said, well, that didn't work. But the problem is that they are middling successes. So they kind of spark G.I. Joe, you know, pop culture conversation. They kind of make a little bit of money. So it convinces Hasbro that, you know, they're doing something right. So they should keep kind of like dragging the dead body through the streets, so to speak. probably not that bad. But and unfortunately, I think as long as De Bonaventura is involved, I'm just not sure we're going to get what we want as G.I. Joe fans. And I'm not one of those guys. It's like, it's got to be set in the 80s. It's got to have Vietnam roots. It's got to do this hyper realistic military. You know, I'm not devoted to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I just think that they haven't really taken the property seriously enough. And interestingly, you know, speaking of Amazon Prime, a recent kind of streaming series has come onto Prime called Citadel. And I don't know if anybody has really watched that or not. The series itself it's not great. I've watched the first couple of episodes and it's not the best. But I mean, the philosophy behind it is that Citadel is this global anti-terrorism organization that is, you know, kind of lives in the shadows, and it's going up against this organization called Manticore, which has threads throughout global politics. It really is a G.I. Joe versus Cobra story. And they've got like memory wiping built into chips in their neck, and they've got like high tech sort of stuff and lots of intrigue. And I think that's the kind of format that would work for G.I. Joe. It's got some, you know, guns and blood and violence and stuff like that, but it's been leaning a little bit more towards the sci-fi side of things. Again, Citadel is proof that, you know, the concept isn't good enough, because Citadel as a whole has been somewhat boring through two episodes, in my opinion. But I think that's the sort of idea and philosophy that they should really lean towards. And by doing it in streaming, gives them the opportunity to explore some different characters and bring other storylines into play. So this fixation on the movie, I think, is concerning. And we've seen in the past, you know, well, we'll just take this thing we were developing for streaming and retool it into a film. I mean, they're not interchangeable.
No.
You can't just lift a script that was going to be a streaming thing and put it in a movie theater. I mean, that doesn't work. The structure and the architecture of the two projects is totally different. I guess time will tell. But I think part of the problem with G.I. Joe as a film franchise is it's been in this constant state of, let's retool this into this since day one. I mean, Rise of Cobra is essentially cobbled together from a Steven Summers concept that, you know, wasn't made for G.I. Joe, some script remnants from the 90s, and kind of, you know, assembled into this jigsaw puzzle mess. That, you know, actually, you know, Rise of Cobra, I think, had the right idea, just not great execution. And then, of course, Retaliation, you hear all the stuff from Channing Tatum about he asked them to kill off his character. So you're wondering how much that impacted the story they told, cobbled together stuff from Adventure Team and, you know, the original Joe, and just kind of, again, this sort of weird puzzle piece of a soft reboot, but not a reboot.
Yeah.
And then Snake Eyes, which, you know, you're not really sure how that sort of came to play. Again, sort of a soft reboot without it being a total reboot. But so it just doesn't feel like they went into G.I. Joe with, let's make a great G.I. Joe movie. They've always gone into G.I. Joe with, let's take this existing thing and try to mold it into G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe is unique. I mean, I don't think that formula works. You need to come up with an original idea that fits that G.I. Joe archetype. You can't just let's take this military story and kind of shape it into G.I. Joe, or let's take the sci-fi story and shape it into G.I. Joe. You've got to go whole cloth and think of what makes G.I. Joe G.I. Joe and start like that from the ground up.
Do you think that, because obviously Lorenzo di Bonaventura is kind of like basically heading this up yet again, and he always
right.
will do, because he's the Paramount guy, and it's a Paramount Hasbro property thing. So are we kind of, until he's not really in the picture, do you think we're going to be kind of burdened with this sort of recurring, you know, if we are going to do a reboot, it's pretty much going to be the same kind of thing over and over again?
Unfortunately, I kind of have that feeling. Yeah, I mean, I didn't take a lot of time to look at DiBonaventura's track record, kind of in other properties.
Transformers.
Exactly. It's mostly these Hasbro branded properties. And and that's what kind of boggles my mind, is I don't see a great track record of success from him. I mean, yes, financially, Transformers blew the doors off of everything for, you know, a solid decade. It was a major property. But one would argue that, you know, after movie two, you know, the quality was just in the toilet, you
yeah.
know? So, I mean, it's like, it kind of made money in spite of itself. And I know they're kind of retooling that franchise now with Rise of the Beasts, but, you know, it's just, I don't have a great feeling. I don't think he gets what G.I. Joe is. And I, you know, honestly, I don't know how big a role he plays in the whole process. He's a producer. It seems like he's kind of the Kevin Feige of this Hasbro stuff, where he kind of oversees things and makes, you know, some of the final calls, which is unfortunate because I'm not sure he's qualified. So yeah, I don't see this becoming what Hasbro wants it to be, as long as DiBonaventura is at the helm. And my wish was, you know, they kind of made this deal with Entertainment One where they kind of bought this whole studio.
Yeah.
And my thought was, okay, peel that away from Paramount, start doing your own thing with it. And they just never really did.
I thought we were going to get animation, TV series, yeah. movies, and it just never really panned out.
Nope. No, they're still kind of hitching their wagon to Paramount. It doesn't seem like that's changing anytime soon, as far as I can tell. So yeah, I just, as long as Lorenzo's kind of the guy in charge, I don't think they're going to, you know, pull themselves up out of this mess that they've created for themselves.
There's so many weird things around the G.I. Joe brand. Like, obviously, back in the 80s, everything kind of fell into place. It kind of made a lot yeah. of sense and all that kind of stuff. And now it's definitely become like the nostalgia brand for the people that were truly into it when they were younger.
Yep.
You know, like our age group and that age range kind of now. So obviously
right.
it makes sense that the success that G.I. Joe as a brand has had has come around like the collector market, you know, like the classified series, for example. There's a reason why that has done so well with, you know, your 6-inch collectors, but then also your kind of G.I. Joe fans who are now older, who want like slightly more sophisticated, complex things to display and
right.
and so on and so on and so forth. So I kind of understand that, makes a lot of sense to me, right?
Yeah.
All the other media is really like they try and wedge it into things that don't really fit. And I kind of feel like if you want to do something like that's going to get kids at kind of imaginations, kind of, or attract kids as an audience, I kind of feel like you have to do some kid-like stuff.
Sure, absolutely.
And there isn't like, you know, there's no animation out there. I kind of think it would be fun to like revisit the Sunbow animation, you know, kind of like mm-hmm. a continuation after the movie maybe, and do some sort of, You know, like, because that way you could keep the goofiness and all the fun stuff and make it like lasers and ridiculous and crazy. And like, yeah. it'll link really well with some, the previous Sunbow series, but then it'll also might, you know, ignite a bit of fun in kids nowadays. And I know there's that thing of, there's the difference here where like kids are not really into that stuff. You're like, it's a really young age that are watching the kind of animations and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden it becomes completely different. It's like social media and it is computer games and stuff like that. And that's where like the attention gets drawn and sucked into. But I'm still surprised that, you know, I know obviously Joe did the crossover for Fortnite. I think that was like a good idea for them to do, but they haven't really, because they did it with the Snake Eyes movie. Like, I feel like they've missed, you know, there's an element there where they've missed an opportunity to really incorporate G.I. Joe into Fortnite.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. And I think G.I. Joe is one of those interesting things where it was very much a product of its time. I think it was so popular and so pervasive. I mean, back in the 80s, a lot of folks, I'm not sure if they realized just what a juggernaut G.I. Joe was in the 80s. You know, it was the number one selling comic, the number one toy line, probably for a good, you know, number of years. And I think that such a huge level of popularity, I think in a way has hurt its ability to reinvent itself, because during that window of time in the 80s when it really hit all the right marks with the military, the patriotism, the capitalism, all that stuff, it built itself around that. So trying to reinvent it and peeling that stuff away hasn't really effectively worked yet. It really wouldn't work in that same mechanism these days. You know, the world is a different place. You know, something like the Masters of the Universe, Transformers, even smaller brands like Mask, you know, or stuff like that, that can exist outside of that pocket of time. You know, you can bring those properties to the modern day without fundamentally changing them.
Yeah.
You really can't do that with G.I. Joe, and you risk it not landing with a new audience, and you risk alienating the old audience while it also didn't land with a new audience. And finding the way to kind of bridge those two, it's really tough, because they've had a couple of good attempts. I mean, G.I. Joe Renegades, I think, was a really good attempt, and it's always
derailed by the movie.
Right, exactly. But also, if you remember at the time, people railed against G.I. Joe Renegades, against the art style. They said it looked awful, it looked like a kid drew it. But now people love it. You know, I mean, they gave the story time to boil and develop, and they realized that it was actually an effective storytelling technique. The animation wasn't bad. It was good. It was different, but it was good. And so I think that's one case where, yes, the movie had an impact, an unfortunate impact, because it should have done so much more than it did, but it also showcased the difficulties in appealing to a new audience while retaining that connection to the old audience. And I think G.I. Joe is very unique in its difficulty with doing that. I think you really need to just throw away a lot of that old stuff in order to bring it to the modern day. And I think there's ways to do it. I just think Hasbro struggles with finding that balance, because I think they're scared a little bit. They don't want to. They know how large that core audience from the 80s was, and they don't want to flush that down the toilet.
I totally understand that standpoint of them being a little like terrified to do something new in and lose effectively that element of what is their audience at the moment. I get that totally. What makes me laugh though is the fact that they keep coming back to the movie structure, and we have discussed this obviously. It's always like, you know, we get hints there's going to be animation that disappears. Obviously, again, that had a lot to do with the fact that Snake Eyes didn't do well, and I think that's the same reason why Lady J pilot was kind of just put to the side, because it's like, well, the movie didn't do well, so we're not going to, you know, take a risk on it, kind of thing. And that does, I mean, it doesn't concern me that the maybe the pilot wasn't good enough. I think it was more down to the fact that Snake Eyes really underperformed, and that's why you're in that position now, that it's canned and everything. So I'm not too concerned that it might not be good enough, but at the same time, like, you know, there's only so many times they can do this before you go, okay, there's a pattern emerging here. And if, like, you know, Lorenzo de Bonaventura is still, and this is the thing as well, like when Snake Eyes was in the process of being, you know, developed, and we were talking about it and everything, all the right things were being said. And it was, and even like the proof of like all the training that all the actors were doing, and we were seeing all the footage from and all that. You know, this is like, you know, the team that are going to be working on the sword fights, and this is the guy that's going to be choreographing everything. And it was just like all the right things were being said.
All the talent in place,
exactly. And it was like, okay, this could be. And then Andrew Koji joined, and I was like, okay, I'm in. I really can't wait to see what's going to go on here. And yeah, it fell pretty flat. Like, you know, a lot of the kind of blame was put onto Schwenke's shoulders in the way that you had all of this amazing stuff going on, and then they just shook the camera and you couldn't see any of it.
Yeah, all the rapid cuts and all the stuff just didn't let the action breathe enough, you know. They kind of they cut themselves off at the knees a little bit.
Exactly.
But there was some storyline stuff too, you know, the whole Snake Eyes being a bad guy for 90% of the movie. And so I mean there was again, it seems like conceptually they had the right idea, sort of similar to Rise of Cobra, but the execution, they just, I don't know if it's their reluctance to get first-rate talent behind the camera, maybe. I mean, they certainly have spared no expense getting first-rate talent in front of the camera, you know, like with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and, you know, Henry Golding, I think, was a good choice. You know, Andrew Koji, like you said, they get the right talent in front of the camera, but then behind the camera, it seems like they just kind of hand it off to anybody, and the result isn't great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, lastly, do you have any... what's your kind of... How can I put it? What's your kind of thought process going into this? Are you kind of taking it day by day, or are you kind of excited? I mean, how are you feeling about the fact that a new Joe movie is in the works?
I mean, you know, it's funny. I just, you know, spent 10 minutes saying how, you know, they've got such a bad track record, but I'm going to get excited for it. I mean, anytime G.I. Joe is thrust into the mainstream, I get excited for various reasons. I will say, you know, if I'm thinking about a new G.I. Joe movie in comparison to this new AAA video game they're talking about, I'm more excited about the video game. Yeah. But I think, you know, I'm going to get fired up. I'm going to eat up every bit of new information that comes out. I'm going to kind of check, you know, the IMDb history of everybody who's involved. You know, I'm going to do all that same stuff I always do, because, you know, there's a chance. I mean, you never know. And I know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a better result. But, you know, it is what it is. And you know, in a way, G.I. Joe is fortunate. I mean, there's so many monster brands out there that don't even get one movie.
Yeah.
They've been trying to make a Masters of the Universe movie for, what, 20 years?
Forever.
And they still haven't done that. Well, they did. I mean, in the 80s, there was the Dolph Lundgren movie. But I mean, besides that, they really haven't put the pieces together, which is amazing to me because Masters of the Universe is so pervasive seemingly everywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, there's, in a way, G.I. Joe has had a few different chances to resonate, and it hasn't. Maybe the fourth time's a charm. I don't know. I mean, part of me just keeps on hoping that, you know, you try it enough times, maybe once it'll stick, you know. So, I'm always going to get excited for it. I'm always going to get pumped up for it. I'm always going to gobble up every bit of news that's out there for it. So, you know, people who watch this and say, well, you said you weren't, you know, how much the other stuff sucked. Why are you excited now? Sorry, that's just the way I am. I'm a G.I. Joe fan. I have been for 40 years. I'm going to keep being a G.I. Joe fan. And as they announce new stuff, I'm going to be excited about it. So, yeah, I'm definitely, even if the Snake Eyes movie, like you said, it fell flat. The ramp up to the Snake Eyes movie was some of the most fun I've had in G.I. Joe for a while.
It's
crazy. There's always, you know, even though we were sitting on some of these recordings for 2 hours at a, you know, Brazilian convention waiting for some morsel of news that never arrived.
The
process
God.
Was still fun. So I think I almost look forward to the ramp up to the movie more than I look forward to the movie itself. Just the anticipation of the trailers, you know, just the cast announcement, stuff like that. It's always a lot of fun. And I just stay off social media and don't read the comments. But beyond that, the process it's a blast. So I'm definitely excited and looking forward to that part of it.
Awesome. Well, yeah, samesies. just had flashbacks of us sitting at our computers ready to go live just in case there was that any more information at that, and it was, they just showed a bit of the trailer and spoke to Larry for a, like, and it was all pre-recorded.
And wasn't it the worst There was one. I thought there was one where there was two different shows.
Yeah,
and
it was
then
the second day,
they showed the same thing as they did the first day.
Yep.
And we just sat and
yep.
waited to see the same thing we'd seen the day before.
And then we went, yeah, we're not going to go live, I don't think. We're just going to go to bed now. Thanks, mate.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, Justin, thanks for jumping on and chatting with me again. I hope we're going to be getting more news, it would appear, because a new film is in the works. And that does mean a lot of different things, but in this case, it does sound like something is in development, and obviously from the mouth itself of Lorenzo de Bonaventura. So here we go. Strap yourselves in, guys, because we're ready for another ramp up of epic proportions. Anyway,
absolutely.
This
time it's going to work.
Yeah, it has to, right? Law of averages states that something's got to stick to the wall when you throw it at it. That's it for this installment of the Full Force Movie News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Justin Bell. See you next time. And as always, 1, 2, 3,
Full Force!
Awesome. That's it for this installment of the Full Force Movie News Burst. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.